Hey guys, this is Naeem, and you've reached the Mosaic Church podcast. So excited that you're part of our listening community, and I'd love for you to be even more connected. So check out our website. There's more content there, and there's more opportunities for you to get connected in our ministries and events as well. Also, love for you to share this content. If this is blessed to you, I know that God wants to use you to bless other people with it. So share this podcast, if you will. Lastly, would you consider supporting this ministry? This is made possible by other people's generosity, and I'd love for you to pay it forward. Join us to reclaim the message and the movement of Jesus together. So would you consider giving to this ministry? I know that God is able to do immeasurably more through us when we come together. Thank you so much. God bless you and enjoy.
Good morning, guys. Hey, it's been a... Yes, good to see you guys. Hey, we got live stream in the house, and we got Metro. What's up, Metro? Let's make some noise for them. What is up? Man, it was great this weekend. We were full of activity, full of great stuff. Hey, by the way, this hottie over here is my wife. Just so you know. Hey. Okay. Hey, who was that? Okay. That's awesome. Hey, so we want to be here together and just to say thank you so much to those people who volunteered and sponsored and all that good stuff, right?
Yes, I definitely want to give a huge shout out to all the volunteer leaders. We had 9 different groups all over the city, from Cornelius to Plaza Midwood and everywhere in between. And I just want to thank the leaders who led each of those groups, because it would not have happened without you. And then a huge shout out to our sponsors. We had 3 different kind of t-shirts this time. We had our Esperanza para Todos, which means hope for all. We had our hope for all. And then we have these awesome Komen pink and black shirts. And our sponsors provided so that the shirts were completely covered. Yes.
Yes. So we've got all these things that happened this weekend, but we've also got things going on as well. I mean, I love the fact that we have been using this space to serve our city in different ways, and I know you got a whole list of those. Also, but for Metro too, even I think this coming TEDx, they're going to be using our facility at Metro as well again. So that's awesome. But in practical ways. But then we got some really amazing things coming up too, right?
Yeah, just so much. We have some things that are in the works. A couple of things I'm excited about. Speaking of people using our facility, I got contacted by a group called Families Forward Charlotte about utilizing our space. And when I heard their mission, I said, we need to connect with you. Because you know how Mosaic, we do weekend backpacks of food. We, at Winding Springs Elementary, we send 50 bags of food home with kids that are under-resourced every single weekend of the school year. Well, they do something similar, but they take it a step further, because their goal is to establish long-term stability and economic mobility for those families. And so they partner up with a liaison, a mentor, to help move them forward in that process. So I'm going to be talking to them about that. Also got connected with another organization called the Migrant Assistance Project. You guys, This one's huge for me.
Let me tell you why it's huge for her, the Migrant Assistance Program, because this is the only person I know who in college leaves her dorm and actually goes and lives in a migrant camp.
Yeah.
For how many months?
Well, the whole summer I lived in a migrant camp in Johns Island, South Carolina.
Yeah, that's where she met me, guys, and so it was great.
No.
That was on a Pakistani dating site.
No.
I don't think there are. There's a Pakistani dating site.
I don't know.
You're not on it.
I'm not on it.
I checked.
Yeah. Okay, back to the migrant assistance.
Sorry, migrant.
Project.
Yes.
Okay. Anyway. This is a group I recently found out about, and they do an awesome work. They're a grassroots organization that provides food, clothing, and assistance to asylum-seeking Central Americans that have recently been released from detention camps in Texas. They put them on these Greyhound buses with nothing. I mean, the clothes on their back. And they show up at our Greyhound station here in downtown Charlotte, uptown, and some of these people haven't eaten for a couple of days. And so this is a group that meets the Greyhound bus, and they provide them resources. They provide them a hot meal. They provide them toiletries. And they also provide them information on resources available to them to find out their legal rights here in this country. So I'm so excited about that. In fact, after the first service,
It's awesome. And, you know, with shout out again to Lisa Barnaby. using Metro and
English tutoring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, so much. There's so much. And I could go on and on and on and talk about this. And as a side note, if you don't know about Brownicity, you need to know about Brownicity. Check them out on Facebook. Because that's awesome. But also, Dr. Gerardo Marty has an excellent talk about the history of immigration, and everyone should listen to it. Okay, so I got to hear about that yesterday at the Charlotte Justice Conference that I attended while everyone was serving all over the city. I got to sit and learn, and it was awesome. And those are two people you need to learn from. So, okay. Also, don't stop me yet.
Okay. No, I'm just going to sit down over here, and we'll just...
Yeah. We do have a lot of other ways you can get involved coming up. We partner with Winding Springs Elementary, and in November we'll be doing Thanksgiving baskets for them again, so you'll be hearing about that. Be sure to just keep up with the Mosaic Monthly and the emails that we send out. Also, this month we're sending a team to the Dominican Republic. This is a partnership we've been doing for 10 years, and it's just a great work. Again, grassroots, local stuff, that is my heartbeat. And through that, we also sponsor kids to go to school in the DR. We've got two kids that we've been sponsoring for years.
What?
We'll also be doing shoeboxes in November. We'll be doing shoeboxes for the kids in the DR, so keep an eye out for that as well. And just so many other things. And
You got so many things going on.
I have a whole other page.
I know, no. There's a lot of stuff.
Anyway, yeah. That's care packs.
Okay, yes, care packs.
I have to talk about.
Yes.
One of the things we did yesterday with Acts of Kindness is we went uptown and gave out care packs, and these are just so simple. They are bags just full of snacks and toiletries and socks, and that they were giving out to people in need on the street. And it is such a simple thing that I actually asked the organization that I found out about them from, I'm like, can I have 100 of those, please? And so I have a whole table out under the tent full of care packs. So after the service, come and grab one and keep it in your car. And next time you're at a stoplight and you see someone you want to help, you got an easy way to help them, right?
Awesome.
Okay.
There you go.
All right.
You done?
Okay.
All right. Could you give her a hand?
You can come.
One more thing.
Talk to me out in the tent afterwards, or email me, and I'll be happy to get you connected in any way, shape, or form.
Woo! Man, she's so busy doing all kinds of stuff. That's amazing, though. I got to tell you, the reason why we want to stop and just talk about this is because we are a church, and if you're a guest here, just so you know, if you're joining us online or just stopped by Metro, you have to know that we are a church that doesn't just talk about all the stuff that we're doing. We're a church that does a lot of things, and we're so grateful to do that, and there's no way that we could do it without the generosity of the time, money, and resources of the people sitting right here in all our campuses. So can I just say thank you so much. Give yourself a hand. Make some noise for what God has allowed for us to do. I will tell you this too, even at the race that we were got to run yesterday, and it was a race for the cure, and it was just so surreal for me because as we were starting the race, there was the announcers there, Molly Grantham, a news anchor. She was there, she was looking at the t-shirts. She was just shouting out different ones, and she was just talking, and just she was the hype and the host for the whole race. And there were, you know, thousands, I don't know, tens of thousands of people. But I heard this. She was like, "Yes, hope for all. Yes, I love that." And I was like, everybody in the city, it felt like, heard it. You know, and it was because she saw our t-shirts, she loves the message, and it was so important because I think that if there's anything that the church needs to be known for is that there's hope, and there's hope for what? All. And it happens not because we talk about it, it happens because we do things. And so this morning what I want to do is talk about some of the things that why it really is important for us to be a people who actually do things. They just do things, and how it's connected to your spiritual walk. Because if you are coming to Mosaic, or if you just started your adult faith, you recently got baptized last week, or you've been a person who've made a commitment to Christ and trying to figure out what this actually looks like, I got to tell you, in your spiritual journey, wherever you are, I mean, for some of you, you've been on this for a while, you have a deep relationship with God, and you would already know this intuitively, that at some point in your life, this idea of doing things, of actually moving and actually getting your hands dirty in a sense, is so important. important in growing your faith. And for some of us, we're kind of stuck in our faith right now, and it could be connected to this idea of doing, because we want to be all these kinds of people. We want to be this kind of person. We want to be this kind of Christian. We want to be this kind of follower of Jesus, but it's actually connected to doing. So that's what I want to talk about today. Next week, though, I will tell you, we are starting a brand new series called Me, Also Me. Have you ever heard that expression before? Seen the mimes or memes? Not the mimes, the mimes as well that happen with those. No, they don't. They could be. I don't know. We'll do a meme, mime, whatever. One of those things. But it's going to be a fun series. And Metro, you got a special surprise too. So next week, don't miss that. And so this morning, let's talk about this idea of being and doing. What does it even look like? What does it mean? So if you got your Bibles, grab those. If you got something that you can look up passages of scripture, do that. We'll put some stuff on the screen for you as well. I want to go to a familiar passage. This is in Luke chapter 10. Can you say 10? All right, just make some noise. That's good. Okay, so here's the story. It's really interesting because I want to read the whole event of it, because by the end, you're like, oh, I know this story. So let's just start off, okay? It starts off in the context where Jesus is with this guy, and this guy comes up to him. And so we start off in verse 25. It says, one day, an expert in religious law stood up to test Jesus by asking him this question. Says, teacher, what should I do to inherit, what's that word? Inherit what? Eternal life. Now, the word there is, it means more than what we think it is. For some of us, you think, oh, he means heaven. Like what he's really asking is, what must I do to get to heaven? Which is it's not really a good interpretation of that. He's talking about something more, eternal life in terms of quality of life, the quality of life that he can actually experience and live. It's like the hashtag living my best life. Yeah, exactly. So it's really connected to the whole idea of, like, what does it mean to have a quality of life that is profoundly different from the life that I'm living right now? What does it mean to tap into a spiritual flow of things where you're like, you find yourself above all the things that bother you sometimes, above the anxiety and the worry? He's talking about a life that's so connected to God that it feels like it's just a consistent flow. He's talking about all of those things. And so Jesus answers the question. And so he goes on, he goes, okay. And Jesus replies, what does the law of Moses say? How do you read it? The man answered, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, all your strength, and all your mind, and love your what? Neighbor as yourself. He says, right, Jesus told him. Do this and you will what? Live. Again, he's pointing to a life here, an existence here. Sometimes we read this and go, heaven, heaven. No, he's saying, okay, so you do all these things and you'll have this living your best life here. And he goes, okay, which he's not expecting that. He's expecting something else, because religious people or people who are looking for a spiritual journey, what we think is, no, we have to do some other things to get to a place. And Jesus is bringing it back here, because we've heard this before, or at least I've said it before, this idea of Jesus and salvation is more than a evacuation plan to get out of earth. It's a transformation plan here for earth. So that's really the big idea here. So then the man says this. He says, the man wanted to justify his actions, so he asked Jesus, and who is what? My neighbor. Who is my neighbor? Jesus replied with a story. He's like, okay, let me tell you a story. He says, a Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho. So a Jewish man going to Jericho. He was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him up, and they left him half dead beside the road. By a chance, a priest came along, and then went and saw the man lying there. He crossed the other side of the road and passed him by. By the way, have you ever done that before? Have you ever seen someone coming and go, oh, not today? Have you seen that? Have you done that? Sometimes it's with exes. Sometimes it's with people you don't want to meet. And sometimes it's just like you people, you look at and you go, I don't know. They're scary. I've had people do that with me sometimes. Yeah, some of you guys have done that with me. I know. You're like, oh, not today. Yeah. That's why people go, didn't you ever worry you'll get mugged? And I'm like, no, I don't. People think I mug them. Like, it works for me in big cities. It's just true. It's just true. It's all good. I'm good with that. I'm at peace with that. Okay, so let's keep on going. Then he goes on. He says, a temple, he goes on and says, a temple assistant, not a priest, walked over and looked at him lying there. So he goes on to another person who's in the story. And he says this, but he also passed by on the other side. Okay. Then a despised Samaritan came along. So a lot of emotion in there because Samaritans were people, they were the ones that people, the Jewish people did not like. It was the other kinds of Christians. You know what I'm talking about? Those other people. You know what I'm talking about? Those political people, like those people. Those, you know what I'm talking about, though, the other ones. Those, like, ugh, why are they here? Right, those people. So a despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. So in one sentence, Jesus gives you two emotions. One of, and then one of, really? I don't know, compassion. Compassion. He has compassion for him. Then he goes on and says, going over to him, the Samaritan smoothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged him up, right? Which we all carry olive oil and wine with us, right? I think they're in the care packs. I'm not quite sure. I got to ask Ashley about that. No, probably not. But then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn where he took care of him. Story keeps on going. The next day, he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, take care of this man. If his bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you the next time I'm here. So he pays for his room, and then he goes, hey, if he orders room service, I'll cover it. Okay. Now, which of these 3 would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by bandits? Jesus asked. The man replied, the one who showed him mercy, which is really interesting if you look at the translation, because I don't even think the guy who's asking the story, he tells him, oh, the guy who showed him mercy. It's a little different. It's a little different because I don't think the guy wanted to even admit that this story could be possible. He says, oh, the guy who had pity on him. No. Jesus' story was he had not mercy. He had what? Compassion. Compassion is very different. It's very different because mercy is like, oh, I'm in a good place. I'm in a higher place. I'll help you poor person out. Compassion is like, oh man, I feel that. I could be that. I'm just like you. That's a little different. But this guy goes, oh, the guy who had, who felt sorry for him. But then Jesus said, okay, then, well, go and do the same. Go do the same. Which the question was, no. What do I need to do to get to the next level of spiritual life? And Jesus is like, go help people. Go love your neighbor. Go help people who other people hate. Go help the person that you are least likely to help. No. No. We don't want that. We don't want that. But the fact of the matter is that these teachings of Jesus are so fundamentally important to us because if you know anything about church, okay, now I came in to the church as, growing up in a different faith. And what I've realized is sometimes the church or church people or we and church or spiritual people, I just combine all spiritual people, even Muslims and Hindus and Buddhists, people who are just want to have this spiritual connection. We're so focused on being good and keeping our hearts pure that we forget that it's actually about doing good and getting our hands dirty. Because the teachings of Jesus are the latter. He's like, yeah, but what are you doing? Jesus was this guy, we talk about him being pure and perfect and all that. What was he doing? He was with the lepers. He was feeding the poor. He was getting his hands dirty. His whole life, it represents that. That this pure passion, this pure love of God comes down and is born in a manger and then is a carpenter and then feeds and heals and he's doing so many things. The stories of Jesus are not just about the teachings of Jesus because you have stories of Buddha and you have teachings of Jesus. I'm sorry, you have teachings of Buddha, you have teachings of Muhammad and some other people, but you don't have stories after stories after stories after stories of religious leaders who are just in the thick of it with humanity, serving them and healing them. Because for Jesus, the big idea is, listen, stop. Do not do this. Do not be so focused in being good, quote unquote, or keeping your heart clean that you forget that it's actually about doing good and getting your hands dirty. And for some of us, the church has forgotten that. We're so focused on being good that we forgot about doing good. And Jesus is like, that's the whole point of all of this. That your spiritual life is connected to that, because the people you want to be and the person you want to become is connected to the person who does this stuff that needs to be done. That, which means this, is that being means that we want to be this person, so we begin to do certain things. We do certain things. To why? Why do we do it? To become the people we want to be. Because in Jesus' teachings, which are different from others, you have to, in fact, do the things you should do to become the person you need to be. And I know there's a tension there. I know there's a, well, hold up, I'm not quite sure, because I thought it was all about grace. I totally get that. And there are several writers in the Bible who talk about it. And James is one of those guys. But here's what he writes. Let me go to James chapter 1, verses 14 through 17, okay? This is in a different translation. I really love this translation. It's called The Voice and the show. Okay, anyways, it says this. It says, brothers and sisters, it doesn't make any sense to say you have faith and act in a way that denies that what? Faith. It says, mere talk never gets you very far, and a commitment to Jesus only in words, what? Help me out. Will what? Not save you. It would be like seeing a brother or sister without clothes and out in the cold and begging for food and saying, Shalom. Shalom, which means peace. Friend, you should get inside. You should get inside where it's warm and eat something. You look pale and skinny. But doing nothing about his needs, leaving him cold and alone on the street. What good would your words alone do? The same is true with faith. Without actions, help me out, what does it say? Faith is what? It's useless. By itself, it's as good as dead. And here's the issue. What we've heard, though, we've heard this, and you've heard this in Scripture, if you haven't, the idea of a relationship with Jesus is that our connection, our salvation, our relationship with God does not happen by our own righteousness. Other writers have said it this way, right? It is grace alone that has saved us, not by what? Works, not by righteousness, so no one can boast. So we've heard this, and we've heard the message. Hey, it's about grace. It's about God's grace. It's not about what you do. It's not about what you do. It's not about what you do. It's about what he's done. It's about what he's done, which I think is true, which is it's so true. But we have fundamentally misinterpreted that. What we fail to understand is it actually is about what you do. And let me explain. You see, when the writers of the scriptures, when they talk about faith and works, and what James is pointing out here, is this, that there's a big difference, a huge difference about works of righteousness, which means he says, hey, if you want a relationship with God, if you want God to love you and you want God to have this relationship with you, it's not about your righteousness. It will not save you, which means all the works you do for love does not count, which means all the works that are the law, the works of the law, meaning ceremonies, routines, traditions, things you got to do, pray away a certain way, all these religious activities that you think should get you into a relationship, will slip you into his office or whatever to get you a seat at the table. It does not work. Works of righteousness do not work when it comes to a salvation, when it comes to a relationship with God. But then he says, but there are works of love, not law, but love. There are requirement. So you don't do all the works for love, because that's not how it works. It doesn't work like that. You do it out of love. You do it because you're loved. Several years ago, I met with a Buddhist priest. I was doing a series. I wanted to meet, I actually wanted to hear a Buddhist priest, and talk to him about everyday life and what the teachings were. And I didn't want to read a book. I wanted real life experience. So we met at a Starbucks and it was great. He had the whole, he was like, came in all like full on. Like, I was like, this is cool. He had the whole garb on. I'm like, oh, wow, I'm in a movie. This is cool. I don't know why I thought that. I don't know. I thought he was going to fight me. But no, he wouldn't. But we sat there. And it was amusing to me because he looked like from a different world. But he had also a Christian background. So we were debating or talking about it. And he was talking about, well, your religion, he was talking about, Christianity. He said, it's works based. And I was like, what do you mean? It's like, you do all these works because you have to for God to love you. And I was like, no, it's not. He's like, of course it is. He said, for us, it's like we put into the universe, so the universe gives back to us, and that's kind of how it works. But yours is the same as mine. And I'm like, no, it's not. He was like, of course it is. I'm like, no, we do not. I don't know about other Christians, but I do not do good because I want God to love me. I do good because He loves me. This is everything I do is just to say thank you. Not to say I deserve it. Like, I'm not trying to prove anything. The only thing I've proven is I am not good. I'm not good. Oh my gosh. On my best day, I am not good. I mean, I'm good for me, but I mean, I look good, but I ain't good. I'm not good. On my best day, I said, but I just do it out of love. You see, if your relationship with God is connected to, God, I want to do this so you'll love me, we don't do good for love. We do it because of love. We do it out of love, never for it. When it comes to Jesus, He's like, no, that doesn't count. But you do it out of love. And so your relationship with God comes to a point where He goes, okay, I want you to do the things you need to do to become the people you want to be. And that's connected to doing good works. And good works versus bad works are not like good and bad. The good works, the real works, are works of love. They're the labor of love. And so you give the most that you can. You serve the most you can. You do all these things because God has given to you and you're just giving back. That's the big idea here. That's the big idea. He keeps on going as well. Here, there's a passage, and Jesus talks about this idea of giving, and it's actually really interesting why he talks about these things. Let me read you this whole passage, okay? And this is one of these passages that honestly I don't want to read. I want to read it once a year because it's too much. It's just too much, okay? Let me explain. Let me read it to you. You'll get the picture. It's Luke 6, chapter 6, verses 30 to 38. Eight verses that will just, whew. Okay, it starts off. It says, give to anyone who asks, and when things are taken from you, don't try to get them back. Do to others as you would like them to do to you. I like that. But then he goes on. He says, if you love only those who love you, why should you get credit for that? What? Why not? Right? And then he goes on, even sinners love those who love them. Why do you do that? Why do you bring sinners in? And then he goes on and says, and then if you do good only to those who do good to you, why should you get credit? To which I would say, yeah, I should get credit. And then he goes on, he goes, and even sinners do that much. Why do you keep bringing that up? Then he goes on, a little crazy here. He says, and if you lend money, are you reading this? Look at this. If you lend money to only to those who can repay you, why should you get credit? Who would you lend money to then? He says, even sinners, why do you keep bringing sinners into this? Even sinners will lend money to other sinners for full return. That's why I let people borrow money so they can give it back to me. It's called borrowing. Okay. Then he goes on. He gets crazy here. I mean, I know it's Jesus, but anyways, he says here, look at this. Love your enemies. Really? Do good to them. Lend to them without expecting to be repaid. Number one, I defriend them or unfollow them. I mean, I don't, that's what I do. Money? Am I giving them jack? Okay, not even my attention. Okay, then he goes on and says, then your reward from heaven will be even, will be very great. And you will truly be acting as, come on, really? You gotta say that? Truly be acting as children of the Most High. For he is kind to those who are unthankful and what? Wicked. And then he goes, he says this. He says, you must be compassionate just as your Father is compassionate. And then he goes on. He's not shutting down here. He says, do not judge others. Well, I'm kind of good at that anyways. But and you'll not be judged. Do not condemn others or it will all come back against you. Forgive others and you will be forgiven. Say it's not so. Give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full. Press down. We like this verse. Press down, shaken together to make room for more returning over and poured into your lap. And then he says this. The amount. Help me out with this. Metro, help me out with this. The amount you give will what? Will determine the amount you get back. This is impossible stuff here. Or is he pointing to something? He's like, hey, you need to press in to do the things you need that are hard to become the people that you want to be. See, I think what basically he's saying is you need to fight against fear. You need to fight against fear and selfishness with compassion and generosity. It's the only two things. The only two things that will fight against this idea of fear and selfishness. There's some of us, and you know this, it's hard for us to do anything for others because we're just afraid of all the things we'll miss out on. We're afraid that we won't have enough. We won't have enough time. We're afraid it'll be too much for us. And so when you're afraid, it's so hard to think of anybody else. It's so hard to be so worried and anxious about your own stuff and then have time and mental and emotional capacity to actually care about anyone else. Because if you're only focused on caring and securing yourself, it's so hard to care about the needs of other people. And if you're so, if you're selfish, it's so hard to be generous. And I don't know about you guys, but I'm a little selfish. Anybody a little selfish? Maybe. I mean, it's hard. You know, the problem with selfishness is it's like I can't look in the mirror and find it. Can you? Like, I find a lot of other things wrong with me, but selfishness, I'm like, I don't see it because it's very hard to find selfishness. In the mirror. The only way to see it is through the eyes of other people. Only other people say, you're selfish. And you're ugly. You know, like whatever. Like, other people can tell you that. Other people can tell you that. Because the people who live in your life know exactly if your words really match what you're saying. Why was the second passage of scripture that we read so important? About works and faith and how works are dead and all that. Because it was written by James, if you remember. Do you know who James was? He was a younger brother of Jesus. And I don't know about you, but it's so hard to convince your own family that you're actually mean what you say. And Jesus lived his whole life in a way that was consistent to his message. And James said the same thing that his older brother said. He said, I've seen Jesus do this. And this, I'm telling you, is connected to this. And so what all these scriptures, when Jesus is talking about all the things that we should do, he, in fact, did them. It's because he wants to teach us the same thing, that we have to fight against fear and selfishness with compassion and generosity in every level. What does that mean? What that means is when you look in your life, can you figure out, can you have an honest conversation about if you're being led by fear? Man, I won't have enough time, if I won't have enough money, or selfishness. It's hard. I mean, I love getting stuff. I love collecting stuff in a sense. I love a good sale. Anybody love a good sale? I do. I just do. I'm telling you, I just love a good, I'm like, oh yes, yes. I get these sales. If you make a great sale, you get something like 90% off, kind of like you do a coupon and a this and a that, and you're like, oh my gosh, I get a thrill. I'm like, this is awesome. I'm amazing. This is great. And here the scriptures are like, no. It's not about what you get. And the real life is actually about what you give. Because what happens is selfishness and fear rob us. And they lie to us. And they lie to us because they think that they make us think that the quality of life is connected to the collection in life. Like all the things you collected, resources, awards, accolades, career, all of that. The truth is, it's not true at all. You know this and I know this. Because the content of the story of your life, the content that fills the story of your life is not going to be about your collection. It's going to be about your character. No one at your deathbed is going to be like, let me just tell you his collection of this and this. They're all going to talk about, and that's what people do. At your eulogy, people talk about all the things you gave away. All the things you gave to them. It will never be about, hey, let me tell you all the things he got. Let me tell you all the things he did. No one talks about, and he was a 3-time gold medalist, and that, not at your deathbed. Because the end of life is connected to how much you've given away. And selfishness, let me tell you, fear tells you, no, it's all about what you get. It robs you from that. Because the truth is, it's not about how much you make. It's about how much you give away. It's always that. It's always that. It's not the kind of person you have, you can be, and all the luxury. No, it's about all the things you have done, not for love, but out of love. That's always been the key to the message of Jesus. And it's the message, and that's so important to us here as well. Now, I was having a conversation really quick. I got to tell you the story. And this week, I had two conversations that were connected together. One was this person who's from a different country, and they're trying to figure out how church works, and Catholic background. And they're like, and so this conversation was like, hey, so how does Mosaic run? I was like, what do you mean? It's like, well, how do you get all the stuff and how do you do all the things you do? Like, so obviously, the government pays you, but then how do you have the money to do? I'm like, I'm sorry, what? Like, the government pays me? Because as far as I know, the government takes away from me. Anybody else have that problem? Anybody? Yeah. I'm like, no. The government doesn't pay me. They're like, no? Who pays you? I was like, well, we collect money. They're like, you collect money? The church? They're like, how? I was like, what do you mean how? Like, when? And they've been to the service. And I'm like, people give online. I'm like, oh, they give online? How do they remember? I'm like, I don't know how they remember. Calendar? I don't know. They give. So you're saying that all the things you do because people give money. And they're like, so what if they stop giving? I was like, we wouldn't do anything. And then they're like, hold up. So if people stop giving, you don't get paid? I'm like, correct. And I could see it in their face. You know when a person is worried for you, but they don't want to tell you how worried they are? Basically, the plan was, the expression was, this is a bad plan. This is a bad plan. I'm not going to judge you, but this whole life you got going on, this is a bad plan. Because if you tick anybody off, it's over. Okay, fast forward a couple of days later, or before, or whatever, I was having lunch with the guy, and he is a Muslim convert just like me, okay? So let me just tell you, we in the Muslim convert world, we are known as MBBs, okay? It's a thing. Muslim background believer, not CBBs, which is Christian background believer. It's a whole thing. I don't want to get into it. So he was like, so, as a MBB, and he was talking about me and him, and he said, I've seen other MBBs, Muslim background believer, like me, talk about their story, and they become speakers and conference speakers and event speakers and things like that, and they share their testimony, but I've never seen a guy actually start a church. And I was like, yeah. And then he goes, how is it working? And I was like, I think it's good. I think it's good. He's like, yeah, I think so. I was like, why are you so surprised? He was like, because that doesn't never happen. And then he whispered this. He was like, bro, I think you're the only one. I was like, what? I was like, what do you mean? He said, honestly, he's been in the MBB world in the US. And he was like, there's no MBB that has his own church. Now there's CBBs, but not MBBs. And I was like, and he was like, dude. So then he went to the same thing. He's like, so people give? And I was like, yeah. Like, I'm not a rich Kuwaiti that's funding this whole church. Like, you know, that's not happening. And he was like, he's Indian, so he was like, he did that. He did it. I love him. I love the Indians. Pakistanis do it too. But he was like, I was laughing. I was like, in my head. I was laughing in my head. And he was like, hold on. So he was like, I was like, what are you doing? So he gets up. We were having lunch. He gets up and he goes and talks to the restaurant person or someone. Comes back with two envelopes, just empty envelopes. I'm like, what are you doing? He was like, nothing. I was like, okay. So we just keep eating. And at the end of it, he's like, here, this is for you, and this is for the church. And he had written two checks, okay? Very, very generous. And I don't know if the checks were like, I hope this all works out, or was it like, this is awesome. But I loved I wanted to tell that story because, friends, there's some of us, come on, you know this, you've been coming to this church for so long, not new people, you've been coming for a church for so long. What I mean by that, months, maybe even years. And you don't contribute at all. You just don't. Okay? I don't keep tabs on you. I don't need to. But just so you know, nothing here is, like, someone's paying for it. You know? You're sitting among very generous people. At Metro, you're sitting among very generous people. People have paid for that campus to start it and to sustain it. People paid for live stream. You watch, you enjoy it. It's not for free, okay? My rich Kuwaiti dad does not pay for it, okay? You're sitting here, it's not for free. I love you enough to say that if you have allowed fear to keep you from giving to the church, you are allowing the enemy to lead your life in that area. I'm just telling you, because if you allow fear in, you're going to allow selfishness in, because we all do. And you don't have time for compassion, and you won't have time or leverage or margin for generosity. And I do not want you to live like that. You want to have an eternal life? You don't want to live your best life? Jesus says, okay then. Then do the things you're supposed to do to become the person you want to be. Let me pray for you. Lord, guys, thank you so much for this morning. I thank you for this community that I'm a part of, that even at Metro, that we are able to lead God people into a knowledge of you that's so different from what they're used to. God, I thank you for a Mosaic and this generous group of people. God, I pray that we would challenge ourselves, that we would not allow fear and selfishness to rule our hearts and our minds, our resources, our bank accounts, our talents, all of those things, God, our energy. We would push forward, God. I pray that we would be the most compassionate and the most generous people with our money, with our resources, with everything that we have. Because, God, we want to live a life doing all the things that we can do because you've loved us. Not for love, but out of it. Let all our actions, all our hard work, all the work we do, our labor, let it be out of love. To just say, thank you. Thank you. You have blessed me. not to be blessed, but to be a blessing. That is your message, Jesus. That is your life. And we want to live like you. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from Mosaic Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. For more audio and video content, visit us at mosaicchurch.tv.